Hey, hallo Giel hier. Ik heb al best wat webinars georganiseerd. En dit is weer wat anders. Dit is namelijk doen. Dit is beleven. Maar wel gewoon online bij jou thuis. 10 dagen lang. Helemaal gratis. Meditatie. Ja, een beetje flauw. Maar het is mij. En we gaan mediteren. Ik zeg we, jij en ik en heel veel anderen, wat sowieso heel krachtig is. Maar ook vooral de beste coaches die ons gaan begeleiden. Michael Pilacic, Jan Geurts, Robert Bridgman, Swami, Marjolein Berendsen, Marjolein van der Aar trouwens ook, van Mindful Minute. Ook nog een andere Marjolein, Lodrichs, Tonja van der Rijckie, Merel Teunis, Hielke Bonnema, Jerome Werens, met wie ik zo mooi hierover sprak, Willem Glaudemans, Wouter de Jong van Mindgym, Christine Bijnen, die doet dan weer juist zo'n hele manifesterende met muziekachtige manifestatie, meditatie. Marieke van Meijeren, die maakt dan weer een transcendente reis. We hebben ademexperts als Casper van der Meulen, Koen de Jong, Edwin Seleijs erbij, Tijn Tauber, Mr. Meditation, Arash Parshan, Jesse Jazz, Faya Laurens, heb ik ze allemaal genoemd? Ik denk het niet, want het zijn er te veel. Meer dan 20. En het is helemaal gratis. Live is gratis. En als je denkt, nou, ik wil meer informatie, of je denkt, ja, ik wil erbij zijn, dan moet je wel zorgen dat je de link hebt natuurlijk. En die krijg je als je je mailadres achterlaat via koekeroe.nl/meditatie. Dit wordt echt, nou ja, iets waar je bij wil zijn. Ook al kan je maar een keertje meepakken. koekeroe.nl/meditatie.
Okay, we start with all the supplements who come out of the pockets of the UK leading biohacker, Tim Gray. Thanks for being here, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
So, this is why your tongue is blue, is it?
Yep.
Methylene.
Methylene blue.
So, why? What does it do?
So, it was one of the first pharmaceuticals ever made. And it's been used in the treatment of malaria. And it's a naturally antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral. They've even used it for dyeing clothes blue as well. It's very multi-purpose.
But when you say antibacterial, I think like, but we need...
Bad bacteria, oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Also... It has a very interesting mechanism where it helps our body utilize oxygen better. So I like to take it, for instance, when I'm flying, because I check the air quality and oxygen levels, carbon dioxide levels in planes. Very, very poor. Very, very poor. Like almost migraine level of carbon dioxide. So using something like methylene blue when you're flying is perfect because it means that your body is using oxygen more efficiently. And when you live in a city like London, like I do as well, obviously clean air isn't, you know, the best. So I use it twice a day there as well. But the byproduct is obviously a very, very funky blue tongue.
Yeah. Which also is a bit like a trademark maybe.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, for sure.
Can I try it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Try 3 drops.
Three drops. Okay. Dus ik doe een dingetje op mijn tong.
Perfect.
Okay.
You got a very, very, very blue tongue now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ha. Okay. So at first I thought, oh, maybe it's just a new addiction or something because it's so nice. But no, it isn't that nice.
No, it's not. It's just very efficient.
Yeah. Okay.
I love how your crew are all laughing at this, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Can imagine. So, and the other thing in your pocket is...
It's just xylitol-based chewing gum.
Okay.
Yeah, and...
Because of the blue tongue, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I like chewing gum.
Yeah. Okay. What does biohacking mean to you?
Well, the traditional definition is the art and science of optimizing your environment inside of you and outside of you to take control of your biology. That's Dave Asprey, the father of biohacking, so to speak, definition. Mine is a slightly adjusted version of that just because I feel like it's using data and technology to mimic nature where we've been removed from nature, so that you can optimize your health. For instance, if you don't see sunrise or sunset, use red light therapy. Or if you're not getting enough clean air, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Or EMF blocking devices, any of these things, we're using technology to reverse technology. So really it's with the mindset of optimal health.
Yeah. But for example, do you think is meditation, do you think that's biohacking?
to someone that meditates that isn't a biohacker, it's not, it's just meditation. But for someone that uses it in a like a systematic approach, mm-hmm. it is one of the biohackers' tools. For instance, like so the NBA wear Aura rings like us crazy biohackers do, they don't consider it a biohack. But as a biohacker, it's definitely a biohack. The same as yoga can be or any of
because,
these things.
Because I have this ring on, because this ring is tracking all kinds of things. So after a meditation, you just check what just happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And what do you see then, for example, meditation?
Well, so I find that actually my heart rate drops very well. And I don't mean just during the meditation. Sometimes it can actually spike because I'm often going on an inner journey and thinking about various things.
Yeah.
But I find that on the days where I do meditate, my heart rate variability, which is the, I guess, broadly speaking, the distance between the beats and the variation of them, is higher, which is great. And my resting heart rate is lower when I sleep. The days where I don't meditate or reflect, I'm generally a bit more stressed. My cortisol is higher and I don't sleep so well. So I do see it in the data very clearly, the days that I do and I don't.
Mm. So let's go back to the moment this all happened. You were like, what's your age now?
43.
Damn. So you were like 32.
Yep.
And then marketing agency, eating crap, wasted.
Yep.
Is that a good way of...
Yeah, working 16, 18 hour days, running one of my companies, waking up, eating crap food for breakfast, getting into the office, not drinking water, working in front of a screen all day, finishing work and then going to another one of my companies in the evening, having food, then jumping straight into bed. And then on the Saturday night, because I was so stressed, I would get absolutely wasted and end up on the bathroom floor or whatever and wash, rinse and repeat every week.
And then... bloating, brain fog, anxiety, other things that when you think about that life, what comes up?
I mean, I wasn't happy. I was earning a shit ton of money. I was very successful, quote unquote, but I was very unhappy and I didn't have time to enjoy it. And I was just pushing my body more and more and more. And I think this is, as an entrepreneur, or a business owner or someone that's very dopamine dominant, that chasing goals, prone to addictions as well, but I was addicted to work, not, any of the illegal things so much. I was very unhappy.
Hmm.
And actually by, clearing out the rubbish and working on my health and getting rid of the things that were making me successful, actually a simpler life became much happier and I'm much healthier for it.
And of course, there was this breakdown. What gave you inspiration to take this path?
I have an addictive tendency, so I'm definitely an addictive personality. But I, because of my father's addictions, which aren't so good, I've always focused them for good or tried to put them towards good things. So when I got ill and the doctors just couldn't tell me what was going on, they just said everything looked fine. I was in the doctors and 5 days in a row. And in fact, I got to know the receptionist at the doctor's surgery. I could ring up and just say, it's Tim.
Yeah.
I need to come in. And he shrugged his shoulders and said, I can't find anything wrong. So at that point, I knew that I needed to take control of this. And so I started researching and post-it notes on the wall and, mapping out all of the cause and effect of what it could be and trying to figure it out like a business solution. And it was the point where I couldn't leave the house. I was told that I was going to form kidney stones for the rest of my life, which causes all sorts of issues because, that can get stuck at any time and very painful. So I was just like, I'm going to nail this. And I thought about it in a systematic approach.
Yeah.
And fast forward 5 years after popping loads of supplements, doing different cleanses, changing my diet, adding various minerals in, I hear about biohacking and went, holy crap, I'm a biohacker.
Okay.
And that's how it all came together.
That's great. What is the biggest misconception about biohacking?
That it's for rich kids.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's typically quite expensive for a lot of these technologies. And I think, various other biohackers talk about a lot of the expensive things a lot of the time because they're brilliant and they really do help. But unfortunately, not everyone's a billionaire. And... I like to talk about the things that are very easy and accessible and free that everyone can do. And that's the misconception that it's expensive. It's actually not if you get the right things in the right order.
And do you think there are dangers about biohacking?
Sure.
You sure? No,
It's dangerous walking across the road.
yeah, okay.
especially in Amsterdam with all the bikes and all the cafes.
But for example, and I'm not going to do it, but when I drink this methylene blue thing, the whole bottle.
I don't think it would do anything immediately. Your pee would definitely go green or blue.
Blue, yeah.
I don't think you can overdose on it, and you should really think about the dose for sure. And obviously injecting peptides or growth hormones or testosterone replacement and all these things. I mean, you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
But that's the same with everything, driving, walking across the road, etc. And I think, you know, I would always say work with a medical professional when taking any substances or things, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. Talking about addiction, it's I don't know what you think about it, but don't you think we're all like a kind of a dopamine addict?
Yes and no. I mean, it really depends on there's actually a test called the Braverman test, which looks at people's preferred neurotransmitters. So for instance, I am dopamine dominant and also choline, acetylcholine dominant, which means I chase goals and I have quite a lot of energy for it. Other people are like more like GABA dominant, which is more chilled and laid back and, you know, relaxed about everything, and nothing really ever seems to stress them, and they don't get panicked. So we all have different tendencies, but we have the same biology behind us, basically, but different things drive us.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like someone might be very auditory and love how things sound. Someone might not even hear the music. They might care about how they look.
Yeah.
So it's the same with neurotransmitters as well. So we can all get addicted to things, but in different strengths, I guess.
Yeah. So what's the name of the test again?
Braverman test.
Braverman.
Yeah. It's free. You can do it online and it tells you your type basically.
Yeah.
And you can see, like for instance, my ex-partner, she's very GABA dominant. Nothing ever affects her. She's like grounded and chilled and, you know, the world could be falling apart and she's just, you know, almost like stoned, I guess, you know, but she's not.
No.
Very smart on the inside, but just very chilled on the outside. Whereas then there's me, dopamine and acetylcholine, and boom, 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 boom. So, you know, it's, but she can still get addicted to things.
Yeah, of course. And this is always a nice question, especially for biohackers. The morning routine, and you have this video on your YouTube channel, the ultimate biohacker's morning routine. So what does a regular day in the life of Tim Gray looks like? Is there like an alarm going off?
No, I don't use alarm clocks. No. I have the sun for this.
Yes.
The moment I wake up is when I start optimizing for my sleep for the evening. I wake up, I have some purified water with added minerals, which helps support detoxification and support your energy through the day and support your adrenals as you get up.
And how much do you drink then?
So I drink about 300 milliliters with half a teaspoon of Celtic sea salt added, and that's all the electrolytes you need. So then I get up and I'll have, a little while later, I have some chlorella, some binders. I have a double mutation on my genes, which in my genetics, for histamine. So I have an issue with histamine. So for instance, aged meats or certain foods and whatnot. So I take chlorella, which binds to anything that I would have through the day, which helps me with that. Then I have my coffee, read, meditate.
What kind of coffee?
Oh, now I have black coffee.
I
used to have bulletproof coffee every day. And I did do for many years, and I love the taste of bulletproof coffee. However, I have a tendency to get higher cholesterol, and I never had a weight problem. You know, obviously Dave Asprey, that invented bulletproof coffee, did have a weight problem. And so adding in, you know, 300 to 500 calories in a coffee in the morning to stop you from getting hungry for a skinny dude like me,
isn't
completely the wrong move.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to realize that, actually, as like, well, my original guru is saying this is the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, it's a way of cramming in extra calories. But then that really made me stop eating enough. And I got thinner and thinner and thinner and got down to 59 kilos. So now it's just black coffee. And I sometimes add a scoop of collagen into it. But no oil, no butter.
Okay. And then were you going pretty fast? Then you were reading?
Yeah, so I read for 30 minutes every day. Non-negotiable, like even if, well, not if the world's falling
and,
apart.
And we aren't talking about the timeline of Instagram. It's,
No. Actually, I use a Kindle these days because I travel so much. And I always was reluctant to have a device to read on. But one thing I noticed that when I moved from using an iPhone using my iPad for reading, and I have a separate device, the Kindle, which doesn't connect to the internet. My reading time is significantly more, and I'm far more focused. And because it's digital paper, it's actually very easy to read in all lights. So yeah, so reading 30 minutes every day, at least 2 to 3 books every month without fail. If you're not learning, you're going backwards, in my opinion. So I like to fill my mind. And then I do meditation or silence, I like to call it, where I reflect on previous day's triggers every day. If there's something that triggers me, I sit and think through it and say, what does this tell me about me? And then I let go of it.
And for how long?
7, 8 to 10 minutes, depending. If I've had something the day before that's triggered me quite heavily,
then
I'll probably do 15
to,
minutes. It's always focused on, what does this tell me about me? Like, why did this trigger me? And I find that I self-guide much quicker this way. And then there's exercise and journaling. So exercise, I have like a rebounder next to my standing desk. I have weights, a Roman chair. I have chin-up bar or pull-up bar, and various other things. And I also do the gym 3 times a week. So that's all in the morning before I eat anything, before my day begins.
So when you say that before I eat again, you're like the intermittent fasting guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think it's good to have your blood sugar spiked all day, every day. We didn't evolve eating all day, every day, and just picking on things. And I find that for me, for my body goals, which was to put on, 15 kilos, if I eat throughout the whole day, actually, I start getting a bit insulin resistant, and I start turning it into body fat, opposed to being slim and, kind of like 14% body fat, which is ideal for me.
And then the cold shower, I guess.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's actually a right bitch, this is, because I've always had a love-hate relationship with it, because it's...
Well, I always have the hate relationship with it afterwards, the love, but every morning is again like, oh no.
Well, I heard, I read a meme on Instagram ages ago now, and it's like memes seem to guide me, like good positive viewpoint ones. And it was a guy that can't practice intermittent fasting, abstain from porn, or hit the gym 3 times a week, or... Or what was the other one?
I'd take a daily cold shower.
Have a cold shower. Can't achieve anything if he can't like beat his whims. It's like, damn you, Instagram! Like, this is a good meme. So I saved it. I had it on my desktop wallpaper of my phone for a long time, and it's like these things. Like, how can I ever become great if I can't fight these basic things? So now it's a cold shower every day. And I love it, but I still hate it at the same time.
Exactly. And I read something about oil pulling. I don't know what it is.
Yep.
What is that?
So oil pulling is ancient Ayurvedic practice.
Oh, it's like scraping your tongue.
Well, no. So there's tongue scraper, which you can do, which, I mean, I recommend using a copper tongue scraper.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's natural antibacterial. But oil pulling is when you put a tablespoonful of coconut oil or olive oil or MCT oil or whatever.
Yeah.
And what, use it like mouthwash in your mouth for 5 to 20 minutes. In between your teeth, it helps kill off plaque buildup. Also helps balance your oral microbiome if it's coconut oil. It gets rid of people that have a coated tongue, a furry tongue, or bad breath and things like this. It helps very
much. But is
that
a daily thing as well? Because you have this methylene as well.
Yeah. Most days, if I'm traveling, I tend to not do it, because I did it for so many years that I feel like I've already balanced my oral microbiome.
Yeah.
And I do a test a couple of times a year for this. So I don't really need to, but I do like it as part of the morning routine. But
yeah, exactly. Because you are talking about health optimization, and that's your thing. You have your own summit in London. But for me, it's more like the Ayurveda thing to scraping the day before gone to start clean more like in a spiritual way, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, but it can be both, of course.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of these things are practices, like religious practices of where they do, you know, for instance, obviously sniffing water and cleansing the nose. And there is, I mean, it is an interesting point because a lot of people say, you know, but what happens if I don't need to optimize my health? Or, you know, what happens if I don't need to biohack? But for me, biohacking is something that I must do for my health and performance, but also I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, sex. We have sex to reproduce, or we have sex to have fun. It's not mutually exclusive. And so I think, you know, resetting the day, like almost like a part of your, your routine just for fun is fine too. Yeah. It doesn't have to have
a... And sometimes I think, which isn't a problem, but doesn't biohacking just create a placebo effect?
Can do, but if it's working, does it matter?
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's actually really interesting because, like, instead of the medical world saying, oh, it's just placebo, it's like, great, it's a placebo. We don't need to take anything else. No. Like, we don't need to harm the body by putting more chemicals in. It's just working.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the other side is that if you forgot something and your methylene isn't with you, well, there could be that stress factor, which is, oh, I haven't used it. And then...
Yes. I mean, I guess for most people, maybe. I think me, after doing it for 10 years, I don't care.
No.
I mean, actually, it's part of my morning affirmations, which is something in my daily routine, is actually like, if things are unimportant, I don't give a fuck, basically. Let stuff go. Like, oh, I haven't done this. So what? As long as you're, I think the law of averages, if you're particular about most things, most of the time, the one time doesn't matter. But it's when people don't care about most of the time that the one time does matter, and it becomes a negative habit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great question you raise, though, because, like, for instance, it's the same with the aura ring. Many people say, oh, I wake up and I see my aura score and I'm stressed and then I have a bad day. But if you check in with yourself first and say, how do I feel?
Yeah.
Like, don't let a device tell you how you feel.
No, that's a great thing.
Check in with yourself and say, how am I feeling? Like, give yourself a score and then say, does the device reflect that?
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with all of these things. It's like, I know I can perform on stage without methylene blue. I did do for 40 years of my life. It helps me perform that little bit better. But I don't kick myself if I don't do it.
No, exactly. So, no, it's great that you're saying that. I know... I think Vision talked about this in his latest book, that there was a test with trackers, and they thought to a group, oh, your tracker is saying you have a bad sleep, which actually that was the group who sleep well and opposite.
Mm.
And guess what happened?
It's the same with wine. They did experiments with wines, which one's the expensive wine, which one's the cheap wine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they swapped them around. And people said the better tasting one was the expensive one, even though it was the cheap.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how would you define spirituality?
Oh, deep question. It's a really good question. I love this.
Yeah, what is it for you?
It's actually a definition that I've played around with recently with my partner, my ex-partner.
Mm.
And it's like, she said, you're not very spiritual. And I said, define what spiritual is for you.
Exactly.
For me, I think it's about believing in a higher purpose and not looking at the details and picking out specifics. It's about trusting your intuition and that things fall in alignment for a reason, opposed to, you know, this happens, therefore this is happening. It's more like just sense and appreciate, you know, the unlimited impossibilities of everything happening. Like crossing your friend in the street when you're on holiday in another country and you didn't know you were there. I mean, this is like believing in something else.
So I can imagine that you believe in a higher purpose.
Yes, I do. It's something that I've really toyed with a lot. I was brought up to be very religious. My mum was very religious. In fact, my stepfather is like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. I mean, he really is. It's like he almost looks the same as well.
Okay.
I love them to bits, don't get me wrong, but they're very, very, very strict Christians. And I kind of let go of it as I grew up.
No, you're but a bit allergic reaction.
But it's not saying that it's not real. And we do have an amazing world where, and I believe about evolution, which should contradict my beliefs in religious, for instance. Mm-hmm. But but there's something in between. So I am, and I do believe in something, but I don't quite know what. And no. when I first did ketamine, actually last year, I think I saw everything I needed to see. And I felt like, wow, this really is the Matrix. I really am plugged in. Like, it's true. Like, like they're right. My mum might be right. And it's just like, and actually my mentor in psychology, who's very well known, Trevor Sylvester, his name is, he's behind cognitive hypnotherapy and NLP and a lot of things in the UK. And he was always this very strict atheist, very strict. And then he did ayahuasca.
Okay.
And then I spoke to him and like just randomly, he said, yeah, I really believe in a higher power. There's something else here. And I was like, what led you to this? Cause you're such a strong atheist. And he went, ayahuasca. I mean, it's obvious now. It's like, wow. So, you know, it's not,
no,
yes,
it's not
or
black
no.
or white. No, no. But, I don't know, you are working in this industry now for quite a long time. I noticed here at the summit that those worlds, if it's like black white, it isn't, but it's a bit combined. I hear a lot of biohackers on stage also talking about, well, vision, for example, about forgiveness and other well, not trackable things.
Yes, so here is a lot more spiritual than, for instance, what we have in London.
Okay, your own health optimization. Yeah, but that's the name is already health optimization.
Yeah, it's similar but slightly different. But the reason for it is that I think people that don't have any awareness around health, that haven't maybe nailed their health, don't have that level of consciousness yet. And as we progress, we sort our homes out, we look after our families, and we then realize about health and improving that. And then we start reading different books, and then we start expanding our minds, opposed to the typical mindset of, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, the whole family works in a shop or whatever. And, there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, I think when you learn the next layer, there's always something you need to go to.
Yeah.
And you go further and further down the rabbit hole. And sometimes you jump out of that rabbit hole and you get into a completely new industry. But I think when it comes to spirituality, it's like, okay, here's the data. It's showing me this. This is magical. I can't explain this. What if? And I think it's just the next layer of natural light. For instance, there's Dr. Klinghart, very famous German doctor who's one of the best there is, but he's very into EMF and some of the woo-woo things on top of that and the spiritual things. The further and further and further they go, the more and more spiritual they become. And I think this audience here in Amsterdam right now, the Helsinki guys, what they do, they're very into spirituality, exploring different states of being, should I say. And I think that they're at that level where they see the magic in the world that, the general public don't.
Yeah. But for you, I hear between the words you say, it's more about the core health optimization. And
I mean, yeah, if something doesn't support my health, I don't generally do it unless it's, for fun. But but my goal is health.
Yeah. I've got 99 problems, but healing my gut solved like 61 of them. I love that post on your Instagram. can you explain us why your gut is so important?
Well, health starts in the mouth. Really, I mean, this is it. And our mouth is an extension of our gut. And it's the main entryway for the most volume of stuff that goes into our body. And yet, people put rubbish food in, they don't generally respect what goes in there enough. And then they expect the energy or their performance to be great. And I think if you optimize your gut, you optimize the nutrients that you get. And that defines how your body performs. It's like if you've got a car and it's the diesel tank is full up with crud and the diesel won't go through to the engine, it's not going to run properly.
No.
And yet, unfortunately, we look at our bodies like it's not a machine when it really is. So if you optimize your gut, it means that you don't have to eat so strictly because you're getting more nutrients. You can be more relaxed. You don't have to stress about stuff so much. Whereas if your gut's ruined, this is where most people have issues, actually.
Yeah.
Same kidneys. Actually, for me, when I had kidney stones, they told me I just had to deal with it. Actually, it came from having gut permeability issues where I'd had too many antibiotics for too long. and had destroyed my gut and wasn't digesting food. So,
but what do you think it's like? Because well, like mental health problems, you had it yourself, anxiety, things like that. Is this like there are? You have a mental health problem and your gut isn't working, or is mm-hmm. your gut doesn't work and then you got health problems? What?
Yes and no, both.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
The funny thing is that our brain, let's talk about neurotransmitters mm-hmm. again. What we get from our food, precursors, or become neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters are how our brains function. People that often have gut issues the most can, like, for instance, I have a very, very good friend, biohacker, who has massive anxiety issues, massive, has a terrible gut. For instance, this is just one case, okay, mm-hmm. for as an example. There's other people I know that have had antibiotics for several months and become depressed. And a very good friend of mine had antibiotics once while he was in Dubai and was depressed for several years until he fixed his gut. So, for instance, vegans that don't eat enough protein yeah. often can be quite low and very chilled or lower functioning brain sometimes. Adding in aminos, plant-based aminos, which, you know, building blocks of proteins, and all of a sudden they come to life and they start yeah. having more energy and their body starts repairing, their hair starts growing faster and their nails grow faster. Their brain power becomes better.
Yeah.
They become happier people. And this happens very frequently. So for me, I was on antibiotics for 3 or 4 months for kidney issues mm-hmm. and prostate issues at the age of 32. And I got more and more anxious, like to the point where I almost like,
yeah,
crazy. But by fixing my gut, all gone. And I would consider myself to be more stable and solid.
Yeah.
And
you fix your gut with the food, but also, I guess, with enough sleep, and it's a holistic thing.
Yeah, if you're not sleeping, your gut won't repair properly because you never got the downtime for the energy to be diverted to fix it. So yeah, it's sleep and food.
You mentioned the V word in this podcast. I talked with Dave Asprey and he was really heavy about vegan lifestyle. yeah. But yeah, well, that's who he is. What are your views on living a plant-based lifestyle?
If someone doesn't want to eat animals because it scares them or they feel disrespectful to the animal, I understand. I understand there's an ethical element to actually eating an animal and contributing to its death.
Mm-hmm.
For health purposes, and I think there's probably less than 3% of people that can survive on a plant-based diet alone.
Less than 3%?
In my opinion.
Without, you were talking about the plant-based amino things.
Yeah, less than 3% are genetically superior that can survive on it. And the majority of people, and bearing in mind on Instagram, I have this debate or like I open the space where people can discuss it. A few yeah. people get rude and it's usually the vegans, unfortunately, but... it's like, actually, it's very stressful on the body. And I don't have anything against it. But when someone that's vegan actually says, well, I don't like killing animals. Well, actually, the average human would eat probably 1 cow a year. So they're contributing to the equivalent of 1 cow a year.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's a plant-based diet only, and they're having avocados flown over from California or Mexico, which have massive strain on resources, and like yeah. almonds for their milk that have killed millions of bees to create these plants, and the pesticides that are killing the soil and degrading the soil, which actually needs the animals to eat food, poop it out for the circle. And actually, that's when they're oblivious to actually what is actually cruel to animals. And it's like, okay, one animal's death is greater than another. It shouldn't be like that. So I think if they're doing it for ethical reasons, I think they should revisit it. But I still appreciate they might not want to eat that. Having plant-based proteins is a good start, but they're not so bioavailable. Things like fermented source amino acids. Actually, I've actually brought some out personally. Some sweet potato, fermented sweet potato plant aminos, mm-hmm. which are pre-digested almost. Very, very good. But you can't live off of powders. You need to eat natural foods, and if you can't get enough protein from your natural foods, there's something fundamentally wrong in your diet. That's my opinion, but you know, I respect anyone's choices regardless.
But you say that's very clear
yeah.
when you're talking about health.
Mm.
it's not a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I tried it as well. I've tried, like, I've been doing it for over 10 years now.
Yeah.
I tried plant-based diet because I thought it was the right thing to do and I thought my energy would go up. But in fact, I got more and more nutrient deficient. And I do a test called the NutriEval with Genova Labs, which is a metabolomics test. So it looks at what your cells are doing, what is in the cells.
Yeah.
I was so deficient, it's ridiculous. And the amount of tests I've seen from vegans, they are so deficient, their body is holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
Meat inclusion, not have to be carnivore. That's like, you know, these people that are pushing carnivore diets and saying you must only eat meat, it's because they've got a dodgy gut and they haven't fixed their gut, which is why they can only handle meat.
Yeah.
If they did it properly, in my opinion, I think that they could add plants and meat in, meat inclusive. So for me, for my health, it was not good. I won't do it again. And
you experimented. And but when you say so, what do you think about a documentary like Game Changers then, for example?
Completely debunked. Actually, you can go through it and tear it apart. I mean, I think that's a good propaganda piece to sell plant-based meats, personally.
But how do you do it in your normal life? How many times you eat meat, fish?
Every meal.
Every meal?
Personally, I like it every meal, yeah. Fish, I like beef. I tend to buy only grass-fed, organic, wild caught fish, but it can be very expensive, especially now with the inflation going on. I buy the best I can get at that moment in time for wherever I am. That's it. And that's grass fed, organic, bio if I'm in Germany or Europe, somewhere like that. And the same for my followers. I mean, I say you don't have to eat organic. I mean, it's my preference. And I've seen the tests of what families excrete when they have pesticide food.
Yeah. But well, yeah, if you say so, and of course you are busy with health, but every meal then, yeah, then I understand why this whole, and I think we agree that the whole industry is a bit, outdated or rude or whatever,
Unfortunately, wherever there's money, there's bias.
Yeah.
And wherever there's bias, interests and opinions and marketing and like plant-based meat, just eat plants. There's no point. No. Just eat plants. Or if you're going to be vegan. And I think everyone tries to skew everyone's opinion. My way's right. My way's right. Well, everyone's individual and something that works for me might not work for you. You know, it is about the averages in general. So we should update the guidelines of what is correct. But unfortunately, there's so much lobbying and so much money, especially around behind plant-based meat now.
Yeah, but I think there's even more money in the meat industry.
The thing is, we evolved. My viewpoint is always, what did we evolve with? Because that worked to get us to this point. And what are we actually going backwards with? And we're getting more unhealthy. The difference is we have a whole planet full of people that we have to sustain. So I appreciate there's other elements that our ancestors didn't have.
Yeah. Is there a hack that you look differently now that you did in the past because of new information or... I can't imagine.
No, it's a good question. So there, I'll give you two quick ones. One was grounding. So
yeah, to stay outside.
So my friend Matt Maruka, he's the founder of Rar Optics. He was a 19-year-old kid, like had health issues, realized that light impacted our health a lot. Very great guy. Anyway, he was standing out in the sea one morning like this, just with his arms out, like, oh, grounded. It just feels amazing. I'm recharging. And I just looked at him and thought, you're crazy. Like, what is this? And he's like, do it. You'll feel amazing. I was like, I stayed upstairs. I carried on playing on Instagram or something. And he said, just look into it. So I listened to every podcast I could find on it. I picked up every book I could. I looked and spoke to the authors. I mean, I did everything. It's like, I did not talk about it in public until I had done it properly. And actually, it's ridiculously good. So I thought it was
the date
woo-woo
of your ring isn't lying, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's crazy. There's 23 or 24 studies now, including peer-reviewed studies about how amazing grounding is for health. You know, if you have high cortisol and stressed, grounding for 20 minutes will bring it back to baseline.
Yeah.
If your cortisol is low, grounding will bring it back to baseline. It's nature's most powerful antioxidant. And, you know, we're electrical creatures on an electrical planet.
Yeah.
And so that was one that I just thought was woo-woo BS. But it's actually my number one hack for everything, even on my talk today. And the other one is the ketogenic diet.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the forefront of that when it kicked off. And I thought it was amazing. Everyone should be on it. It made sense ancestrally, you know, and then people started getting sick on it and not progressing and losing too much weight and causing microbiome in it differences and things. And I think, you know, I was on the bulletproof coffee, you know, train at the time. And I think it works for some people at certain times. For cancer patients, for instance, and things like this, it can be great. But I do think it's not one for everyone. It's individualized. So that was another thing that I changed my view on quite heavily.
Nice. I ask you, like all my guests, to name three books that influenced you on your your journey as a human being. And well, now I know your morning ritual, so you read a lot of books. It was a tough decision. It's just what comes up now, but
so one. I would say the title's controversial, but it's actually an amazing book that every man on this planet should read. And it's called The Way of the Superior Man.
Ah, David Deida.
Yes. Because I'm 43 now and I've been looking for my partner in crime. The thing is, I realized recently I hadn't been ready myself. And the common factor in all of these relationships was me. And while I'm quite a strong guy in some ways, I was raised by my mum. So I'm very empathetic and feminine in some ways. And whenever I've had a very female woman, it's triggered me because it brings out the female tendencies in me. Whereas when I have a very masculine woman, it also triggers me. And I need someone that's a little bit more centered. The Way of the Superior Man really tells you how to be a man, like, and how you can add value to the world, how you can help protect your woman, and how you can just be a better human. And women, females can read it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's incredible. And after reading this and seeing the world in masculine and feminine energies, it changed my life. I think it was the final piece of the puzzle for me.
And when did you
I first read it about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I read it again about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
The funny thing is, the first time I read it, I heard one version of the book. And the second time I read it, it's like, wow, I didn't see that before. And next level. So that's one.
A spoiler for you, read it yourself. But there's also like the female version.
Mm.
And me and my girlfriend, we both read the two books.
Yeah.
Stick to the man version. Mm. That and a lot of other guests said it as well. He also tried to do the other way, but it's not the great tone as in The Way of Superior Man.
Unfortunately, a lot of publishers like to do this. They get a great first book and they're like, now your name's out there, how can we get on the next one? And a book that may have taken 5 to 10 years to write, and then the next one's farmed out in 6 months. So I think I had read actually the reviews on Amazon when we bought that one. Yeah. There's actually another book that goes alongside that. It's not one of my top recommendations, but it's called Bingo Theory.
Okay.
And by Mimi, actually, I met her husband by accident in a conversation in Iceland.
Okay.
just at the time I was reading The Way of the Superior Man. But that's about understanding masculine and feminine energies more specifically. It's incredible read.
Nice, thanks. Okay, book number two.
I would say Health and Light by John Ott in the health space.
Don't know that.
And it's it was about a guy that was commissioned by, I think it was Disney, to record a pumpkin from being planted as a seed through to growing up and then shrinking back down. And I think it was for Cinderella, the movie. So you can see it, you know, grow.
Yeah.
They tried to grow this thing under various different colors of glass and things like that. And they realized that when they put different color perspex, it didn't grow. And they tried it with different crops. Like some things would grow tall, different colors, light would not let it grow.
Right.
And then the flash throughout the night to take a photo of it every hour or so would actually wake it up so it would stop growing. So it's like actually realize that light impacts the plant's growth. It's like, what about, how does that work with humans?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so things like arthritis and eyesight and all these things, actually different colors of light wavelengths or different glasses yeah. over things actually change how people's hormones. So it's a very, very interesting book.
And is it a real technical book or?
Partially, yeah, okay. partially. But there's a lot of studies out there now that backs up this book because it was written a long time ago. So yeah, incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, and great. I think that's why, for instance, I woke this morning with a migraine, quite a bad one, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I realized that the lighting in this venue is LED. And if you hold your video camera to it, you can see it's flickering.
Yeah.
Flickering lights trigger migraines in me. And so, yeah, it's, these things are all around us and yet we don't know. And it's funny because light is photon. It's a source of energy for us as humans, which is why we charge in the sun. We need to eat less food when we're in a hot country. And yet it's completely forgotten by us all. Yeah. So this book's great for that.
And the third book?
A book called Thinking in Bets.
Thinking in Bet?
Yes.
Okay.
So my friend and mentor, Martin Tobias, told me about this book. And I'll give you a very, very quick view of it.
Yeah.
If you have a hand of cards that has an 80% chance of winning, you will play that hand of cards, right? 800 times out of 1,000, it's going to win. And yet when we're in life and we do something or other and it goes wrong 2 or 3 times in a row, we change what we do. We forget that, in fact, it's probably the right thing to do. The thing is, you might lose 10 times in a row and then forgetting that actually carry on.
So
that's point one. What this taught me was, especially when I was running a conference and during COVID, like having to change the dates and these things like that. Like, for me, it was like, what's the problem? And changing the date. What are the potential solutions? What's the percentage chance of that solution being the right one? Taking the emotion out of the decision.
Exactly.
And being very logical and not going crazy about, you know, burning a lot of money every month on an event that might not happen for another 2 years because of COVID. But the point is, we turned it into a win. Now, I do this with most things now. It helps me think like a biohacker. The other point from the book is think about a bad decision that you've made recently. Pick one.
Yeah, I know one.
Yeah. So, do you want to share? Are you able to share?
Yeah, it's so bad, and I think maybe you walk out of this room now. But I started smoking again.
Okay. And so, why would you consider that a bad decision?
Well, because it's not bad for you. It's bad for you. It's crazy.
Okay.
Maybe it isn't a good example, but go on.
Fine. So, okay. So I'll give you a side example, and I'll touch on the cigarette thing in a second. If people attach the decision with the outcome, so for instance, driving home drunk is never a good decision.
No.
The outcome, getting home safely, was lucky, still doesn't make it a good decision.
No.
But when it's the other way around, for instance, I hired this person and we had to fire them. Decision, the outcome is bad. The decision might have been good if you did your due diligence on this person. So it's about understanding that your decision is not bad because of the outcome.
At that moment, okay.
So for instance, with smoking, was it something or other to chill you out? Were you super stressed? Is the outcome bad long term? Is it?
Well, that last one, of course. I understand what you're saying.
My point is this book is so succinct in teaching you to take the emotion out of the decisions, to think logically, to line things up based on the percentage chance, and to give yourself a break if the decision is different because the decision is out.
Thinking in bed. I thought
thinking in bed. She was the female number one poker player.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very good book. I love this.
Great. When are you going to write a book?
In progress.
In progress.
Yes. Yes.
And it's about biohacking in general, or do you have a specific...
I'm not going to share just yet.
Okay.
I'm sure my publisher would be a bit unhappy because we're keeping it in the background for the moment.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, I have got one in making. Nice. I've been asked 4 or 5 times over the last 3 or 4 years. And I've said no, but this publisher was just too good to say no to.
Okay, great. How do you deal with your mobile phone and other distracting everyday stimuli like, you know what I mean?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
I have limits on each app for each day. I now have my content prepared in a spreadsheet and then my assistant sends it to me every day. So it's in Telegram ready for me to copy and paste so I don't have to be in the app too long.
Okay.
So, and that was my biggest thing. I mean, at one point when I was growing my account, I was spending 4 or 5 hours a day on Instagram. It's just like wasting life.
Yeah, it's but good. It's your business as well.
But it's still ambiguous between the two. And it's like, it's a waste of life.
Yeah.
Although I grew a lot of followers and it helps the business and things like that. Yeah. But it's still like, how can I minimize this? So putting systems in place to make sure that a lot of it is done away from the phone. So I can actually leave it and not care too much. I turn all notifications off. Any of my team or any of my friends know if they need me, they ring, because then it actually rings and nothing else notifies. In my morning affirmations every day, I have a thing that when I'm reading, my phone is at least 6 feet away from me on airplane mode. That's it. I mean, these are like, you put actually Atomic Habits by James Clear taught me a lot of these things. It's like thinking about putting systems in place so that you have to trip over these things, so that you automatically do them. So I build this into my life.
Nice. And is it still sometimes hard?
Sometimes. When the algorithm targets me with bikinis and things like that, I mean, I'm a guy. I mean, you can see a bikini, you're going to look. And the thing is, when you click on one, then you start getting targeted more. So sometimes I'm like, I look and I'll be like 20 minutes later, I'm like, God, I've got to leave this thing alone. So, you know, but the main point is, I think my morning affirmations is a daily check-in of these things.
Yeah.
And it reminds me every day, opposed to 3 months later going, oh, I forgot about this rule that I set for myself. It's there every day in my affirmations.
We talked about the morning routine with the affirmation. Do you have like an evening routine?
Yes. Yes.
Can you share that?
No food after sunset, except for an exception, such as an event like this.
Yeah.
Blue blockers 3 hours before bed every night. No TV that has any killing or violence or anything that might spike my cortisol. Because you're supposed to be winding down.
So you don't check the news then?
No, I don't watch the news at all. I don't read the newspapers. No. I don't watch the news. I mean, for 3 weeks during COVID that I did, it was dark, man. Yeah, it was dark. Dark time, yeah. And like, actually, I was like, almost like, what's the point of continuing? Like, what's the point of life if this isn't going to go like this? So I ignorance is bliss. If there's something I need to help on, I'll step up. But I see newspapers as marketing machines, basically.
That's what it
and
is.
Podcasts are the future. Yeah. Like I really think that, it really is. It's unbiased information from people's opinions, talking in a room where other people wouldn't usually be able to hear versus a pre-discussed agenda. So, so anyway, wind down. And no phone for the last hour before bed, minimum. I mean, ideally more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And no breath things.
I do this in the morning most of the time.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
How vital or weak will humans be in 50 years, you think?
How what, sorry?
How vital?
I am hoping to die as young, as late as possible. This is the thing that I say. So I would much rather just drop off a cliff and die at one point.
Yeah.
And
but it's more, okay, we go to that question, but it's more like in general, the human being. Do you think we live in a good time and we will be older or we'll be more vital?
I think there's a way to go yet. I mean, the younger generations are certainly becoming more wise. Like nightclubs aren't filling up as much as they used to. Sure, within a certain age, they're still very popular. But I think people are becoming more aware of the things that are failing. For instance, my knowledge and many of my friends that aren't even biohackers have far more knowledge about health than their parents did. And they're healthier than the parents did that were. So I think that things are turning around. And I think things will get better, but they're going to get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
You just have to look at obesity rates and health issues and, you know, all these things that are going on. But I think things like the Biohacker Summit or my conference or any of these others are raising awareness of we can do better.
Yeah.
And our parents didn't have that luxury.
And that will have that ripple effect. And
These are the early adopters. These are the earliest adopters, which means it's a few years away.
Yeah.
From being more mainstream.
And what were you saying about your own life? You're not afraid?
No, not at all. I mean, obviously I don't want to go anywhere just yet, but my goal from doing all this stuff is people say, well, you put a lot of energy into this. Yeah, but a lot of people put a lot of energy into Instagram or other things or whatever. It's like, I want to be as young and die as late as possible, you know? And that's, I'm 43 now and I I look younger than I did at 33.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I feel better. I have higher testosterone naturally. I have much better fun. I'm much more aware of everything. I'm not bragging about all this stuff, but the point is that it works.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather continue on this vein than on a positive tangent than the negative one that I was going on.
And then, and well, that's more like a spiritual question. What you think will happen?
With me specifically, you mean?
Yeah. So Tim Gray, at a certain point, your heart stops ticking and a doctor will say he's dead.
That's deep. It's and really deep. My mind goes straight away to having built out the conferences so that it continues without me. This is really what my goal is, so that people understand all this cool stuff they can do that's more available to the mainstream health optimization summit, you know, several locations around the world. This is really what I would like. And for me, it's irrelevant. I've had an amazing life. I'm very, very happy with what I've done. If something happened to me tomorrow, obviously I wouldn't know. But the point is like, I feel like I've been enjoying this game that we are living in.
Yeah.
And while I want it to continue and have kids at some point, which is really important for me, really helping as many people, not to sound like a cliche, but helping as many people as possible know this stuff that is so basic that we've been detached from our ancestors, that this is when it stops, that would make me very happy.
Yeah. Oh, but I think we can shake hands because you're like 43 now and don't have kids yet, but you do want to.
I've been very careful.
Yeah. But it's still like a wish.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been ready as a man.
No.
I just haven't.
That's same here.
Yeah.
And there once was this guy, we had a great conversation, and he was saying, "Hey, you're too old. Your sperm isn't good anymore." And a lot of people reacted on that, and he was just playing a bit.
Mm.
But well, I hope for you and for me as well that things will work out.
Everything will be as it's meant to be. It always has and it always will be. And this is what I trust. And maybe that's the spirituality part in me.
Yeah. So last question about because now your answer was more like, how do you want to be remembered? You say, hey, it's about the Health Optimization Summit and all the things I do. But what do you think will happen with you, your energy, your soul, your
okay. I have absolutely no idea. I really don't know.
No.
I mean, you know, I've been high with certain friends and we've had the same thought at the same moment, and there's been an element of connectedness, like, wow, we do go somewhere. I did some ketamine a few weeks ago actually, and I saw the universe fold into itself, and I was just like, wow, like, this is this where I'll be going at some point? I really don't know.
No.
I really don't know. I would like to think that there's a collection of all of us up somewhere laughing at how ridiculously stupid we are and how we took life too seriously and not just, you know, enjoyed the ride a little bit more. But yeah
it was a very nice conversation, Tim, with Blue Tongues together. Thank you so much for your time and energy, and I would love to join once the Health Optimization Summit.
Yeah, please do come.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
Tim Gray, ik ben benieuwd wat je ervan vond. Dit was weer helemaal biohacking in optima forma vanaf de summit, dus laat altijd dingen achter onder in de reacties. En vergeet hem vooral niet te delen, want misschien zat er wel iets interessants voor je in. Thank you so much again, Tim.
Thank you.
Dit was Koekeroe, tot de volgende zonnegroet. Hoi. Ja, misschien word je helemaal gek van me. Sorry. Maar ik wil gewoon even zeker weten dat je je al hebt aangemeld. Want het zou zonde zijn als je het mist. Samen mediteren. Elke ochtend, elke avond. Live is gratis. En het zijn echt grote coaches die normaal gesproken, echt wel wat knaken kosten. Als ik denk aan Michael Pilacic, of Jan Geurs, of Jazzy Jazz, of Faya Laurens, of Robert Bridgman, Swami, Roy Martina, Hielke Bonnema, Merel Teunis. Er zijn nogal wat Marjoleinen, Marjolein Berendsen, Marjolein van der Aar van Mindful Minute, Marjolein Loderichs, Willem Glaudemans, Jeroen Berends van BeMind, Wouter de Jong van Mind Gym. Marieke van Meijeren van de Bewustzijnsschool natuurlijk. Christine Bijn, de Cosmic Life. Onze hypnosekoning Edwin Selij. De lichtwerker Tijn Tauber. En de breathwork master Casper van der Meulen. Ik noem er maar een paar. Maar je hoort al, poeh, dit is krachtig. En sowieso, samen, elke ochtend, elke avond, even mediteren. Ja, dat wordt echt een training en een mooi moment, denk ik. Meld je aan via kukuru.nl/meditatie. Dus kukuru.nl/meditatie.